with us for that. As we come in today on Thursday, yesterday we prayed for oncoming generations, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The Bible teaches us that we're to be concerned and that we're to leave an inheritance or legacy to the fourth generation. That would be our children's children's children. So we're to have that type of forward vision when it comes to our families. Today, I want to pray for leaders, spiritual leaders. Spiritual leaders would include those who serve in fivefold areas: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, bishops, church pastors, those who are senior pastors supervising other pastors who help them with congregations. And I want to be very specific on that today with our scripture. This week, our scripture is in scripture devotionals is entitled "Thank You, Lord." And today I will read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11 from the Amplified Version, because that will help me to explain it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians is a very personal book written by Paul. It profiles his life. Whenever you want to understand something about the challenges of being in the ministry, you want to read and then study passages in 2 Corinthians. It is the most difficult of Paul's letters to understand because it doesn't follow any particular flow. It's very, very personal, and he is defending his ministry, and I want you to hear me today. He is defending his ministry because of so many accusations. The people in Corinth were angry with Paul. They were angry with him because he wrote what we have as 1 Corinthians. The letter of 1 Corinthians is filled with correction. You want to get people mad with you as a preacher? Correct them. Tell them that what they did wasn't right, or tell them that what they're trying to do isn't right, or correct some interpretation of scripture that they've gotten from somewhere. Usually they made it up. And Paul spent all of 1 Corinthians correcting people. I need you to know today and remember that your leader, the only reason you have a spiritual leader is because God raised he or she up to be that leader. They're not different from you in any way when it comes to their being sensitive, when it comes to the judgments they make, when it comes to regrets, when it comes to pride. They're no different than you are. Preachers are no different. They're actually just as human and ordinary as any individual. But it's their commitment and their convictions that set them apart. Paul's heart was broken. And that's where we get 2 Corinthians. It's his response to accusation. Here's what he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, under our theme for this week, "Thank You, Lord." We're giving thanks for 2024. He says, "While you join in helping us by your prayers, then thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf for the gracious gift of deliverance granted to us through the prayers of many believers." Well, what thanks is he talking about? He's talking about the people who do receive him being thankful for his ministry and his gifts. And he's talking about the thanks that he and the people with him on his team have. Thanking God. Thanks from, according to him, thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf. meaning that because we've come to town, people will be thankful to God because of the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we're releasing. But he says something here that we don't really get. Most of us don't. He says the gifts that we have of deliverance have been granted to us through the prayers of many believers. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, and then those gifts are sharpened by the prayers of the believers. Those who pray for me as a preacher actually help my gifts to be better. You say, well, I sure do enjoy the prayer call. Well, that's because somebody's praying for me. It's not because I'm so talented or spiritually gifted, but the prayers of those who pray for me make the gift better, if I could say it that way. We're living in a time where accusation has become common, especially right now because of social media, and we can get information so quickly. So many things are distorted. So before anybody can even explain what happened, it's already gone out according to the will of people who don't love you. When you're a leader, a spiritual leader today, you can make a blunder. You can say a bad word or the wrong word in a sermon or teaching. And before you get through preaching or teaching, it's already gone out around the world. I don't believe Bishop Young said that. I was shocked to hear such a comment come out of his mouth. He said the N-word. I just don't believe it. And before any context can be explained, people have already taken it and run with it, and now it's become a discussion at the breakfast table in IHOP. Did you see what happened in so-and-so's church? I saw it on YouTube. I saw it on Facebook. I saw it on Instagram. I got a TikTok video. Well, do you even understand what was going on that day? No, we don't care about that. We just want to get the greatest gossip. I've had a lot of hard things to be said about me, and I'm thankful to God for the support that I received. The hardest thing that I've had anybody to say about me, and it bothered me so long, this was several years ago, they called me a cult leader. They said that the people that I had in church would do anything I said, even if I told them to jump off the bridge. They said I was a cult leader. Well, why would they say that I was a cult leader? Because we had gone into the projects and we had gotten people saved. We had recovered backsliders. We were looking for the people nobody else wanted. We were bringing them into classes 2 and 3 times a week. They were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They were growing in praise and worship. They were beginning to become preachers. And you know what they said? I was a cult leader because the other churches were not able to do that. They just said, you know, those folk know where the church is. If they want to come, let them come. I took the church to them. I would preach to them in the projects on Tuesday nights. And never invite them to come up to the church 3 blocks away. But we had our church on Tuesday night. They said I was a cult leader. I was no cult leader. The devil is a liar. But can you imagine what is happening today? Right now, even as I'm speaking to you, you hear all kinds of things. You know, well-known bishops, lesser-known bishops, well-known pastors, lesser-known pastors. Did you see it? Did you hear it? What do you think? Here's what I think. And we move into these areas not knowing most of the time what we're talking about. No more consideration is given to things now before it's discussed. than just the mere fact that we think we've caught somebody. We've caught them in something. We've caught them in a lie. He's a preacher. She's a pastor. We've caught them. He's a bishop. I don't believe it. We've caught them. We're on this hypocrisy watch, looking out for hypocrites in the pulpit so that we can make it known and declare to others, listen to me, we're not looking for the devil. We're not calling prayer meetings because our streets are being shot up by gangbangers. Our kids are being killed, and not only kids, adults are being killed innocently, putting air in their tire at a store, gassing up their car, walking out of a convenience store only to be hit by 5 bullets. We're not calling prayer meetings for that. We're not trying to strategize what we can do as the body of Christ in a way that that God can move. We're looking to catch somebody. And then we want to drag their names through all the circles. That's what was happening in 2 Corinthians. What they thought they caught Paul in was that he was a profiteer. He took money from us. He shouldn't have done that. And then he wants to tell us how to live in our marriage life, and he ain't got no wife. Those were the kinds of rumors that they had put out about him. And then they put the nastiest one out of all. He's not really an apostle because he wasn't with Jesus. He wasn't there with Peter, James, and John, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Andrew. He came along later, which is true. He was not one of the 12. The original 12 apostles. But they were saying because he was not one of the 12, he was phony and fake. And when he writes 2 Corinthians, he's answering accusation. But he says this, the verse that I just read to you. He talked about being thankful. He said to those who would hear him, while you join in helping us by your prayers. And then he says, then thanks will be given by many persons on our behalf for the gracious gift of deliverance granted to us through the prayers of many believers. There were people praying for Paul, and they were thanking God that he would hang on in there. Although there were challenges and accusation, he was hanging on in there. And because he hung on in there, now he is credited for writing half of the New Testament. But he did not do it free of being lied on, free of being misunderstood and criticized. I'd like to say this to you today. Maybe you're a part of a ministry like the one that I lead, or you may be a member of a church congregation. Or you may be a part of a national church group. All of those would be the body of Christ. I don't pastor a church. There are those who are joined to me. That is our circle of faith. That is our circle of ministry. I minister to the ministry. I tune up the pastors. I tune up bishops and apostles and prophets. I help them make their ministries better. And there are those who work with me and support me in doing that. That is a valuable work in the body of Christ. Everybody in every field that you can think of needs somebody to come in and tune them up. Everybody needs reorientation, new ideas. Everybody needs encouragement in the ministry. That's my job. There are those of you that belong to local churches, and you sing and you serve and you participate. Listen, don't be guilty of accusation and gossip against your leader, or the leader of the church down the street, or the one that you saw online. Don't let the devil use your mouth to discourage others from being faithful to God. When you go to work, you walk in the break room and they're discussing something about apostle so-and-so, a bishop so-and-so, a pastor so-and-so, do whatever you're doing. And when they ask you, how do you feel about it? Just say, you know, I prayed about that. I hope the Lord will just intervene because he's done some good work in this city. And brothers and sisters, if we live that way, your life would be better. It's not about catching somebody in the wrong. It's about knowing that the devil is out here to destroy every role model that he can get his hands on. And it's the job of the church to pray against the works of the devil and stay the hand of the enemy. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning. And we're thankful for your word and for your spirit today. We give you glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, for the victory that we enjoy, that we live, knowing that it is in you that we live and move and have our being. You are our all in all. Thank you, Father God, as we pray together today for the Holy Spirit and for his leadership. Thank you for his guidance, his direction, his instruction. And thank you that as we pray together today, we realize that you use our prayers to hold Satan's hand back. And therefore, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you receive our meditation today. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight today. Father, we pray for spiritual leaders today, knowing that there is a great attack against them, knowing that in this world of instant information, things are so twisted and misunderstood. And knowing, Father, that even if they're not twisted and misunderstood, it is our job to cover our leaders in prayer. Because we recognize that they are made of the same flesh and blood that we're made of. Knowing that they have backgrounds, they have childhoods, they have things that have interfered even with the way they think and process information. Knowing, Father God, that as we come to prayer this morning, that even as children, there were things that happened to them that caused them to respond the way they respond today, just as we all do. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done this morning. We pray for those preachers and teachers on this call right now, not knowing who they are or where they're serving in the body of Christ. But we thank you, Father, that there is a team that you have sanctioned in the body. And that team is apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We pray for them in the name of Jesus. Many on this call today have works that are struggling because of rumors and accusation. People have said that they're untrained, they're too ignorant to have a ministry. People have said that they're too small and that they don't have any people, they don't have anything. But Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for their faithfulness today and their protection today. And we pray, Father, for their wisdom and understanding, knowing that there are some ministries that will have 3 people, some will have 33, some will have 303, some will have 3,000, some will have 30,000. In the name of Jesus, let your will be done. Because, Father, we realize today that Satan wants to destroy all preachers. And he does that by picking at their reputation, by trying to expose their works as to whether they're great works or not so great, trying to expose their lives as to whether their lives have problems or not, or big problems or small problems. We come against it in Jesus' name. Let your will be done, Father. We pray for our pastors today. Every church represented on this call, and there are so many, many more than we can name this morning. But we pray for the churches represented on this call by the prayer warrior who is on here with us today. We pray for that pastor. We pray for that pastor's family. We pray for the other preachers on staff and the teachers on staff who are seeking to do your will, but they're doing it so many times, not knowing exactly what's right to do. But we pray for them. We pray, Father, that they be encouraged today. And we pray that you would use us to speak encouragement to them, to tell them that we pray for them, to tell them that we stand with them in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing in the preacher's bodies, those on this call that desire to be healed, so that they can continue to do a good work. Their own physical body may be taking a toll based on the heavy load that they're carrying in the ministry, or based on the fact that they don't get much rest at night because they're praying or they're just wondering what to do next. How to get people back from COVID-19 that have not returned. How to reach out to the last, the lost, the least, and the left behind. We pray for the preachers on the call today for their health. Then we pray for those who are standing in the gap for their pastor's health in the name of Jesus or their bishop or their apostle, their leader. And Father, we pray for healing to happen in the bodies of men and women of God, knowing that when you worry or when we allow ourselves to get over into the flesh of anxiety, it takes a toll on the body. Father God, in Jesus' name, forgive us of worrying and forgive us of being anxious. Let us be anxious for nothing but to turn it all over to you. Then, Father God, we pray that your will would be done in those who are on this call today. As we go out to do our work today, guide and protect everyone, every man and woman on this call. Give us instruction and give us wisdom. And then we pray for healing in the bodies of those on this call today who desire to be healed. With Jesus' stripes, we command that you be healed. And we call it done in Jesus' name today, precious Father. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful Thursday, everyone. Amen. Bless you. Amen. God bless you. We'll call back in tomorrow.